Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is D&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Derek Oliver, and my co-host, Ms. K. We're on the line on this Monday evening. Hopefully you had a great weekend, and hopefully you had a great day to start your week off. Hopefully we can give some insight on a little word tonight or the conversation we're going to have on tonight. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce my beautiful wife, Ms. K. Good evening.
Good evening and happy Monday.
Of course, happy Monday. Okay. Happy Monday to you too. With that being said, we want to thank everyone for joining us, whether you're on Blog Talk or whether you're online or you called in on the phone line. We just want to say thank you. First and foremost, we want to give honor to the Lord who's the head of our life, and we want to thank him for this platform. We want to thank him for everyone that's listening to us all over the place, and we just want to say thank you, and we want to just send a special thanks for the support. Listening in every Monday at 7 o'clock, we really do appreciate it. And we're gonna get into the show right now. But with that being said, when we say thank you, we really do mean thank you, because us doing D&K has given us is giving us something to study, something to do. It's part of our life now. We can't go too long without having to study, without having to have conversation. And it's a great thing when you can have a conversation with your best friend, your wife, your lover, about the Word of God on a consistent basis. A lot of times we're discussing the Word because we're trying to get ready for a show or we're doing something. And it's exciting because you can see the growth. And when you see growth in people, spiritually, especially when it comes to the Word, it's exciting. So, you know, the Lord gave us the platform, and we're going to continue to use it. If though nobody listens, I just know as in a relationship, it helps, because we have to take time to talk about the Word. And that's what we do, and we got to talk about it. Whether we agree or disagree with certain things, certain topics, you know, everything isn't going to be black and white. But at the same token, when you got God's Word, you can never go wrong. So with that being said, I'm going to ask my wife to open us up in prayer, and we're going to get started. So again, thank all of you for joining us.
All right. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, just thanking you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for waking us up, clothing our right mind with the activities of our limbs. Lord, I ask that you be in the midst on tonight. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we pray that you get all the glory on tonight. Anything that we say, let it be edifying to the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go. You can go ahead and get it started.
All right, well, this conversation that we're going to have tonight, it's kind of like a two-part conversation, because I had posed a couple of questions to my husband over the weekend. One is something that I don't want to say I struggle with it, but I have struggled with it in the past, and I saw a glimpse of it over the weekend. So we're going to talk about that the second half. But the first half, I just want to – well, not even a half. The first part, I do want to ask – I've asked you this off the air. I'm going to ask you on the air when it comes to prayer. I'm going to start with that. Do you find – I know your answer, but you can – if I'm not putting you on the spot, if you can answer as well on the air, do you find that you pray more or – if I could say harder or more harder, that's the word I'm going to use. If you pray harder for family and friends versus praying harder for someone that you came across to just ask for prayer, or would you say it's equal?
You're going to get me in trouble. No, it's not equal. And I can say that honestly, it's not equal. when I'm praying for someone I don't know and they're telling me what to pray for, I find it, I pray harder and it's more personal when it's a complete stranger or someone that's not in my bloodline. Let me just say that. When it comes to family, you know, you pray and it's just different. You pray, and not that I believe what I'm praying, but, you know, sometimes it's supposed to probably be the same, but just to be honest and be, you know, transparent, it's not. there was a situation, and I'm going to use this as an example. It was a situation in the family, and when it happened, it looked bad. And my comment was, well, Jesus will have the final say. And everyone looked at me, yeah, you talking all that. And the thing about it is the person that we were praying for ended up getting off, and all charges was dropped. And instead of saying, well, we appreciate the prayers and the conversation, they said it was from a letter that was written from somebody. That's why the person got off. So when you're praying, especially with family, it's just different, you know. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But, no, I pray harder when it comes to people I don't know, people that's in the church. I actually pray harder for them and praying and checking and making sure that they're getting what they based on my own family.
Okay, so with that being said, I think we were kind of like not totally opposite spectrums, but lightweight opposite, because personally, I feel that I pray harder for family members and friends because I have more of a – I know their situations, and the family and friends that that ask for prayer, or I know they are in a situation, they may not ask for prayer – I know what they're up against, so I believe I pray harder for family and friends and close people that are close to me, my church family. I'm going to pray for the faces that I see and the faces that I know. It's easier for me to call out their names. Even if I can't call out their names, I can see a glimpse of their face. So the Lord knows who I'm praying for versus somebody asking me, oh, pray for my cousin's sister because blah, blah, blah. I'm going to pray for that person because that's what I'm going to do. It may not be as hard. It may not be as detailed as I would for somebody that I know. I mean, I don't know if that's right, but that seems like that's usually how it goes.
But let me ask you a real quick question. I know we got to move on, but a quick question. You know, you have some of the same family members that need prayer all the time. And the thing about it is we all need, and the Bible states that, but, you know, some people get themselves in a position, and they, because they know that you're close to God, they'll come to you. And that's a good thing. But, you know, I get tired, and I have family members that they reject the Lord, but when they get in trouble, they want us to pray. And at a period of time, I'm not Jesus. I try every day to die to be a little bit more like him. But some days I'm just like, you know, we just had this conversation 2 months ago. We just prayed about this, and you're still doing the same thing. You know, it's like I got alcoholics in my family. So when their liver go bad and they're in the hospital, and we've been praying for years, stop drinking, stop doing this, stop doing that. And now you come up to you, and I'm supposed to pray hard, and you continually live in sin. And I'm not saying God can't change it, but no, I'd rather deal with a person I don't know. I don't know, and I can pray harder and it'd be more effective compared to someone I know that's robbing, stealing and killing, lying and conniving and trying to get ahead. And then when they get in trouble, they want us to pay.
How do you know it's more effective? If you don't really know the person, how do you know?
Because when I'm praying, you know,
at the end of the day, you got to trust God no matter what, whoever you're praying for. Whatever God's will is, that's what's going to be done in the outcome.
Yeah,
we can agree on that, right?
Well, yeah, we can agree on that, but you always tell your kids before they leave, make good choices. And when they make bad choices and we got to deal with it, or when other people make bad choices and we got to deal with it, you know, they made that choice. And now they want people that's close to God to pray for them, and they done made all these bad choices. Now, I'm not saying we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and I'm not saying we don't need prayer, because we do. I'm saying when it comes to my family, personally, when you ask the question, I will say a prayer for them, especially if it's one I've already prayed 10 times. I will say another and hope that the Lord will touch them and move them. But for someone I don't know, because I believe someone I don't know, I say I can touch them. I can be led to minister to them. But when you minister to people over and over and over and over and over, and they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know, I feel like I'm being played. And I can only imagine what the Lord feels like, but he has grace and mercy, and he, that's his grace and mercy. You know, my patience runs short. You know, time is short. I don't have it in me to keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, especially when it comes to family and praying. So I can't sit up here and say because there's a difference. When we're out in the streets and we're ministering to people, those prayers are different compared to my cousin that needs prayer that I didn't pray for 10, 15 times. You know, at some point, and my family know the Lord, so it ain't like they don't know. But when they get in trouble, yeah, they'll call Elder Oliver and want us to pray. And we got to have the same conversation like they six. And it's okay because, you know, we have those type of people in our lives that we got to continue to pray and be a crutch for them, and hopefully that they can make it and make better choices. But, you know, I'm, you know, when you ask the question, I was just being honest. You know, some of them Negroes, I just, hey, we.
So would you say, you're more, I don't want to say in your feelings, but you're more in the flesh, if I can say it that way. Feel that you're more in the flesh when you're friends and family ask you to pray for them versus when somebody else asks you to pray for them?
When someone else asks me to pray for them, it's not my family. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's ministry. Your family know you, and you know your family. And I'm not saying all family members. I'm just talking about the ones that come for prayer at certain times of the year, you know, when they've been doing stuff they ain't got no business doing, and when they go to the doctor, pray that I get a good result. Well, you ain't been making good choices. And if you ain't been making good choices, you want me to pray something, and hopefully God's grace and mercy can get you, you know, it's not mine. So it's not like, there is a difference. And it's just like when you, and I just use for an example, your kid, you keep telling them over and over and over, at some point, okay, you ain't going to fuss no more. Pretty soon you just ain't going to say nothing. And some of my prayers is, you know, and Jesus wept, because there's nothing else I can say. If you keep going down the road, you know, and there has to be accountability for people who want to live who live in sin. If they want to live in sin, they have to face the consequences. And like I said, they have to face the consequences of whatever come up. So when they ask me to pray, yeah, I'll pray for them because that's what I'm instructed to do. But is it different with someone I don't know? I'll take my chances with someone I don't know and minister to them because I feel I'd be more effective. And they could be the same way as my cousins, my brothers, or whoever it is that in my family that's giving me the runaround, but at the same time, I don't know that. I haven't had that experience with them, so I'm going in fresh. I'm going in with, you know, with hope, possibility that the Lord can touch them, and they can see the sincerity in my prayer, and hopefully I can touch something. But with some of my other family members, you know, all of them, they grew up in the church. Now, that doesn't mean anything, but, you know, but when things get on the nitty-gritty, can I pray? Then they won't have the whole church. That church, my church don't, you don't even, you know, that's a subject for another day. But, yeah.
Okay. And Jesus wept, huh? Wow. All right, so let me just say this one scripture in relation to sum it up. You have your opinion in the way that you would do it. I have my opinion. At the end of the day, we both pray that the Lord's will is done in all situations for all people, because that's what's going to matter anyway. Whatever the Lord's will, that's what we want. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So we're going to continue to pray, and we're going to continue to lift family, friends, non-believers. We're going to continue to lift everybody that we know, and whoever asks for prayer, we're going to continue to lift them up to the Lord and let the Lord's will be done in their life.
Be alert. Be alert.
Be alert.
Be alert.
There you go.
Be alert. Be alert. So, yeah, we're going to definitely pray for people, especially non-believers, but, you know, we'll talk about that, because I'm ready to go south. So go ahead. Keep us going.
Okay. All right. So that's one thing that we kind of like throw things out to each other, and that was one of the things that I threw out to him over the weekend. Another thing that I threw out to him, I was doing some studying today, because I learned over the weekend that I still struggle with fitting in, if I can say that. And I told my husband that the title for tonight is Design Not to Fit. So, and I'm going to explain that. Pretty much spent my summers, I'll spend like a month with this friend and a month with that friend. So I never stayed home during the summertime. I was always at a friend's house. Now, the friend's houses that I went to, they were different. They were different. So one friend, her family was, they were all family oriented. It was like her brothers, her aunts, everybody was just over there. And it was just like fun all the time. Nobody, they weren't saved, but it was just fun. So that's one friend. Another friend, if I could say it, it was the drug house. So it was like you had a lot of traffic. And a lot of traffic meant that some boosters would come over with some free stuff. So it was free to the kids, but, you know, the grown-ups, they did what they did for us to get it. But anyway, and so that was another friend that I stayed with. Then I had another friend that I stayed with, and it's like we went to church, and I enjoyed going to church. So it's kind of like I was trying to find where I fit in as a teenager, because at home I never felt like I quite fit. I think I shared this before. I didn't look like none of my family members. I wasn't interested in the things that they were doing. They weren't interested in the things that I was doing. It was just like, I used to ask one of our, they were called missionaries, but there's a missionary at my church, missionary Haynes. And I used to ask her, like, how did I get in this family? Like, why did the Lord put me in this family? I didn't understand, because I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like an outcast. And so I would find myself trying to do things to fit in. I even went to a club one time with my mom and my sisters, just because I wanted to feel a part of, you know, just to hang with my family. It's not like they would have came to church with me, but I ended up going on, you know, hanging with them. And I was really actually, I'm praying for people in the club. So I'm like, I knew that's where I didn't need to be. But because I wanted to be with my family and friends, I went. And that was kind of like the gist of my childhood, even up into my adulthood. So what happened over the weekend, we had a childhood friend that came to Atlanta to do a comedy show. And I found out about a couple weeks ago, and my sister said, y'all want to go? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to go, just show some support to him, and, you know, since he's trying to make it out here in the comedy world. And for some reason, I woke up Saturday, and I did not feel good at all. No matter what I took, I did not feel good. And it was like, okay, maybe I don't need to be going to this comedy show. Maybe I just need to have a seat. And that's exactly what I did. But I still felt like, because I didn't go support, I'm like, why did I care so much? Like, I didn't understand. Like, what? You grown. There's no reason for you to want to fit in now. You grown. Why do you even care about any of that? And I struggled with that. Like, why did I care that this person was was doing what they were doing, that's not my life. Once again, I wanted to hang with my sister, and, you know, it is like, but nobody ever comes over to, they don't come to church, they don't be online listening to D&K Bible Break, they don't go to Bible study. It's like, why do I feel the need to do what they do? And I shared this with my prayer group a couple of Saturdays ago, and it's like, what came to me, designed not to fit. We were designed not to fit. This is how the Lord made me, and I'm not gonna be comfortable in situations where He didn't design me to be. I may feel like an oddball. I may feel like I'm alone or nobody wants to hang out with me because I'm not doing what they're doing. So it takes a lot for me personally to get that in my head and just say, do what the Lord is telling you to do and press on and stop worrying about trying to fit in. I'm still trying to fit in with my family members. And I was wondering, okay, where did this come from? Why do I feel like this? And it's been like this since I can remember from childhood. And I was looking at some scriptures and I was thinking about some people in the Bible, and Joseph comes to mind. I'm not saying I'm a Joseph, but, you know, he didn't fit in with his siblings. God had greater things for Joseph to do. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel didn't do what they wanted him to do. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they didn't do what they were supposed to be doing. They did everything that the Lord was telling them to do. So I'm asking y'all to pray for me because I still struggle with trying to fit in, even though I know I was not designed to fit in certain places. But that is something I struggle with that as a teen, and I lightweight struggle with it now. And my husband asked me, he's like, well, why do you want to go when they don't support you? And when he said that, that kind of hit home, and I'm like, you know what, that's true. Why am I pushing to go do something that I really didn't care about going? It's just being amongst family. I feel like I'm talking a lot. But
you're fine. I just want to interrupt you about, you know, fit in. You know, with chaos, I get these media passes, and I can go to any game I want to go to. I get one ticket. And you know me, I haven't went to a basketball game or a football game just because I don't want – I can, but it's the atmosphere. And God has called me higher. Now, I can do it if I want to, if I choose to, but because of the calling He placed on my life, and there's nothing wrong with going because eventually I will go to one or two somewhere along the line, but I could have went to the Hawks game on Friday. I had a ticket to go. I didn't go, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but A, I'm a family man. I'm married. I have a family. And every time I think to go, the Lord always gives me something else to do, and we have a calling on our lives, and it's totally different because we want to support our family. We want to be close-knit to our families, but at the same time, you have to separate the real and the BS. And what happens is you want to support because that's the type of person you are. You want to support this. You want the best for everybody. But at the same time, they're not living the same life you're living. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We would have went up there. They didn't get started at 11. I would have had an attitude. We would have been arguing. I'd have been ready to go at 9:30. The young man didn't come on to 11. So you got to understand, we had to go to church the next day. You know, we have commitments. We have a calling on our life. We can't just be out there doing what we want to do. Now, there's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of preachers and teachers do whatever they want to do, and then they find scriptures to hide behind it. But when you have a higher calling, the Lord will continue to bless you, even though you can show support from a distance. You can show support. Hey, you don't have to have that bond because they're not following the same God you're following. And it is very evident. My whole family go to church, but they don't support me. The only time they support me is when they want some money or when they're in trouble. Now, as of lately, they think we balling out. My family do. And now when you get the calls to pray for this and pray for that, they're not genuine because they think they know. But there's a price we got to pay for what we do. And we can't be out there just living it up in sin, because eventually where we're going, and I know we live in a sinful, but we're not a part of that. What were we doing Saturday? We was out in the community doing what? Passing out hot dogs to people who needed them. Point blank, period. That's why I got free tickets to go to a basketball game if I want to go. That's why you could have went if you wanted to go. But it's not. You don't have to fit in with them because they're not trying to fit in with you. And you can tell the people who want to support you, who wants to uplift you, who wants to the best for you. You know them, and you can count them on one hand, probably. I know I can. And when it comes to that, you got to shake the dust off your feet and keep it moving. It's been like that your whole life. And at some point, it's like you're looking for something, and the Lord already gave it to you. He's already gave it to you. But every now and then, I understand sisters wanting to be sisters and close. We're going home next weekend. I'm going to go play dominoes with my brothers and all of that and have a good time with my brothers. But at the end of the day, I can't hang with them. I can't do what they do. I can't act the way they act. Now, I can hang with them for a few moments, have a what you want to call a fellowship dinner, and be on my way. But at the end of the day, I got to come back here to do what God has called me to do. And you got to do the same thing, too. But when we're there, they will be able to see how the Lord is moving in our lives. People can see that all over. They can just look and tell what's going on. But then some people want to look and see the bad that's going on, too. Because we are dealing with things, and the devil hits us, and we got to deal with it the way God wants us to deal with it. You know how many people say, I don't understand how you do what you do? Those ain't your kids, this, that, and all. And you hear all of that. But at the end of the day, I still keep a smile on my face, and it's by the grace of God because I can do what I do. And he gets all the glory because it's not there. And that's when people say that, that's a testimony. So when you go do what you do, you just got to, shake the dust off your feet. And in D.O. fashion, the hell with them.
Wow.
It's the truth. It's the truth because at the end of the day, and I'm not going to sugarcoat the word no more, people know the word, and they know right from wrong. And if they don't want to live right, with the word, that's not Derek Sand telling someone to go. I'm not damning them or anything like that. But at the end of the day, either you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And if they ain't trying to go to heaven, I'm not going to sugarcoat the hell with them. We give opportunities. We spread God's word all the time, and we do it hard. We minister hard. We live hard. We do it all for. And if they don't want it, that's not on us. That's not on us. And I'm not gonna sit up here and pretend that we're gonna keep boom. And there's people who out there that want the Lord. Those are the people I'm interested in going to get. For those that don't want it and think they got time to do this and do that. That chance, because ministry is hard work. It takes a lot out of you, and people are playing. And we've been praying we've been married 5 years. We've been saying some of the same prayers for 5 years for the same folks doing the same thing that they've been doing. Now I feel like I'm talking a lot.
You're good. Everything that I'm saying, it does not mean anything about watering down, but my belief, because at the end of the day, anybody that knows me, they know that the Lord is everything to me, and I will not compromise the word of God. At the same time, people also know that I have a habit of being, I guess free-hearted is the word I want to use. It's like they already know. If they ask me, I'm gonna say yes, even though I know sometimes they're using me. And I always say, it's not me they hurt. That's on them. I mean, I'm gonna just be who I am. And John 15 and 19, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. The world will never fully embrace me. It will never fully embrace you. And that's just the way it's supposed to be. And like I said, we were designed not to fit. We are children of God. So we're not going to fit in every situation, even though me personally, you know, my feelings do get hurt when I'm not invited to certain things. And it's like, well, dang, I would have came too, just to, you know, me again, wanting to show support. But that's me having to deal with my emotions and my feelings and, you know, getting out of myself. And I thank God for the experience that I had over the weekend, because it just showed me, okay, you're not as far as you thought you was. So it's good sometimes to check yourself, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm like, I can do this, blah, 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 and I don't need nobody. But I found myself caught in those old feelings how I used to feel when I was a teenager. But I thank God for allowing me to see it and allowing me to move on from it. Because at the end of the day, I do want the Lord's light to shine everywhere I go. And my job is to serve him. And while serving him is to draw other people to him. And if I'm doing what everybody else is doing, how am I drawing? How am I different? How am I standing out to be set apart as a child of God if I'm doing everything that everybody else is doing? It don't work that way. So that was just a reminder over the weekend that I wasn't designed to fit, even though it hurt a little bit. But that's my learning lesson over the weekend. And I'm grateful for where God has me. I don't have to seek happiness, you know, in the wrong place. I don't have to seek happiness outside of the will of God. And I don't have to seek happiness in a place where, like I said, I wasn't designed to fit. And I pray that somebody is listening that, you know, I know we get in our feelings and we feel like we're alone or we're by ourselves, or why are we so different from our family members? And it seems like everybody has somebody to relate to, and you feel like you can't relate to any of them. Me and my sisters, we talk about things, but I don't share a lot with my sisters because I don't want to say we're not on the same level, but our views are different. I have a best friend that knows everything there is to know about me, and good, bad, and ugly, because she's like my sister. She is a woman of God, and she's going to set me straight, and vice versa. And I feel that if you have somebody that you can, at least one person that you can feel comfortable with just letting loose with, it would be great to have that man or woman of God in your life to do that with. Thank God for my spouse, because he hears a lot of the pain and the stuff that I go through, and he's always here to support. And I know people think, oh, things are easy and you don't have it that bad, which may be true. Somebody always has it worse, but sometimes you do feel like you're alone and you feel like, okay, why they didn't invite me? I go through that a lot. Why they didn't invite me? I mean, I would have went. So y'all pray for me with that part, because I'm still struggling with that part, why they didn't invite me. Even though sometimes I'd be like, I'm not going anyway, but it's just to know that you got invited. But anyway, this is not going to be all about me conversation, but I pray that somebody is getting what I'm saying and they can relate to it for their own situation.
Everybody wants to fit in, and everybody wants to be a part of something. But then again, you got to look at what you are a part of compared to what you're not a part in getting invited to. There's a difference, because a lot of people get invited to go to a lot of things that is not of God, and they go. there's a lot of people. It's just like, I'm going to put it like this, and you know, make people mad. We just make them mad, really don't care. But, you know, we get invited to speak in other places. And at first, it was exciting to me, but yet I looked at what it was doing and how it would affect. If we went and spoke at other churches and did what people invited you, oh, y'all doing a great thing, pat you on the back, it would take us away from our home. It would take us away from our home church. We couldn't serve what God would have us doing because what? We're too busy being invited, going places. When you get invited, going places, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, 99% of the time, it's outside the will of God. And when you're outside the will of God, you're allowing cracks to break your foundation. And I'm just keeping it 100%. When you're in ministry and you're doing God's work, you at some point, because you get tired of dealing with folks in ministry sometimes, and you're looking for an escape, so you want to chill with the family. But really, your family, that's your family, but it's really not your family because they really don't support you in what you do. And it's just not right, you from doing what you're supposed to do. It's like getting caught up in other people's mess. You know, when you people say, can you pray for this? And you end up praying, and they ask for this, and next thing you know, you're dealing with other people's mess, and it's nothing but a headache because they're not making right choices anyway, and you're involved, you're more involved than they are. And
that's why you pray the Lord's will be done.
Well,
that's why you pray his will.
But the thing about it is sometimes you get so caught up into it. All you got to do, if you want to see, is when you went, and I hate to use this as an example, is that when you go to church and you look at people, you see them and then you don't. You see them and then you don't. You see them and then you don't. Then you wonder what's going on. And the thing about it is you're on the battlefield. You're fighting. And when you fight, sometimes you get hit. Sometimes we went through a lot of hell, but look, thank the Lord that we're still on the battlefield. Thank the Lord we can have a D&K. Thank the Lord we can have a church. Thank God we got ministry around us to keep us balanced. If we didn't have that, we would be popcorn saints. Pop in, pop out. Pop in, pop out. Hot 1 minute,
never
cold
that.
The next minute.
Never.
If you get caught up in your feelings and your emotion, I'm not saying you, I'm just using it as an example since you put yourself out there like that. If you get caught up in that, and if you would have went comedy show and we've been out there to 1:30 in the morning, what would we have been able to have been in church? How would that look? And I'm just saying, how would that look?
Well, you know, we wouldn't have stayed out that late for one, but
I
thank
I'm
God.
I'm just saying, you put that out there, and I'm just saying, we out there, and then I'm calling up, I can't make it. Why can't you make it? The truth of the matter is, I'm hungover because I was out late, and all that smoke.
Why would you be
don't
hungover?
Feel good.
Who's drinking? We don't drink.
We don't drink, but you're still hungover from being around all that mess. That's what I'm saying. When you're holy and
what?
You live a certain lifestyle and you go out and you sit around sin, you get hungover. You get tired. I just left work.
Okay,
I'm tired.
So
you know I'm
tired? Let me just say it like this. Let me say this because I see what you're saying, but at the same time, if this Holy Spirit is within you and you are the light, how are you? Well, I guess are you saying that your light is becoming dim because you in an environment that is not conducive to
first
the Lord?
Of all, let me say this because I'm in a safe place. I'm in my office and I got backup. When I'm going out in the world and we're in a place, you don't have that backup. I'm not saying I'm weak and I'm strong. I'm weak and I'm going to fall to temptation. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you can get yourself in a situation where it weighs on you. The flesh and the spirit is fighting. The flesh feels good some things. You're looking at things. It looks good. You know, next thing, it's just not a place for a believer. And I'm not saying because we're going to go to a comedy show in a couple weeks. What
so
I'm saying
me,
is you got to be prayed
this.
Up. You got to
okay,
be prayed
up. Okay,
hold
on. Up. Let's pause for a second because what you're saying is not okay. So, you know, we go on a cruise all the time. And on the cruise, there are many walks of life, many things going on that cruise ship. We are amongst the people. We save when we get on the boat. We save when we get off the boat. So that being said, we went into an environment that that was not at the church, just like the comedy club was not at the church. People were drinking on the boat.
You're sugarcoating it up. What I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
I'm comparing it to what it is. If you go to a comedy club, keep it where it's at. It's a comedy club. There's a difference in going to a comedy club and going to a comedy club on a ship. It's two different. There's two different things. And what I'm saying is, because when you go on a ship, and when you go and you watch it and you see the water, you see God, you can see things that keep you spiritually minded. When you go to a comedy club, they're going to be smoke. They're going to be alcohol. Same thing that goes on a ship. I'm not saying it's any different. But
yes.
what I'm saying is, when you go on a cruise, you're on a cruise 3 days. You're on a cruise for 3 days. We were going to a comedy show for a night. We had work to do the next morning. We had work to do prior that day. What I'm saying is you can't dibble and dabble.
It don't matter if it was on even if it was on a Friday night, it don't matter.
See, there you go. Yeah, it does matter.
I'm just saying, what you're saying is you would have went on a Friday night and then got in late and it would have been fine versus going on a Saturday night
I could have went on a Tuesday night. It's never fine. What I'm saying is this: when an opportunity and you and I told you this if the opportunity was right, it would have been planned perfectly for us to go. If the opportunity was right. But the opportunity was, you wasn't feeling well. I was tired. And I wanted to go for one reason. You know the reason I wanted to go. I really didn't care about the comedian because they don't support us. That really wasn't the reason I wanted to go. I was just one step closer to the old lady gang to go get me some soul food. That was the reason I really wanted to go. And you knew that. But at the same time, don't sugarcoat, because when you're living a certain lifestyle, you cannot, and when I say this, if we decide we're going to go somewhere, me and you decide we're going, we're deciding collectively together. We're going to go. We're going to do this point blank, period. Now, just to jump up and go out, this is the reason you can have a successful, and our marriage is successful, because we don't entertain going out in the club and doing all that stuff. If we decide to go to a comedy show, we're going to go, and we're going to make sure that it's right before, in the middle, and in the end, that it doesn't disrupt what we're doing, period. When you start going out there and it start disrupting, you got to go to work in the morning. So are you going to go out at 1 o'clock tonight? No, I don't think so, because why? You got to be prepared for the next day. So and even if we were just going out to go to Denny's or going out to go to the Waffle House at 1 o'clock in the morning, we can't do it because why? Because we're not going to be prepared for the next day. When you're in ministry, you have to prepare yourself for certain things. You can't go out. I can't go out tonight. I got to do Bible study tomorrow. I can't be out doing anything that I want to do and then come back and be ready for Bible study. You have to be prepared. And if you're not prepared, that's why I'm not a popcorn Christian, because I know how to prepare myself and how to do things the right way. I'm not saying you got to be a monk and you can't go out and enjoy yourself. What I'm saying is if the opportunity is arise, the Lord will make a way for you to go, and you don't hinder anything that you got going on. We got too many ministries going on for us just to be popcorn running to Atlanta to go to a light club to support somebody that don't support us. Now, if it was someone that supported us, listened to us, okay, then now it's a little different. Now, the doors were open. It's easy to go. It's easy to do things. It's easy for us to go on a cruise. It's easy for us. A lot of people don't have it as easy as we have it to go on a cruise. Why? Because the Lord blessed us to have it easy to do that. Are we going to mess up anything in the ministry? No, because why? We can prepare for it because we want to do it. Now, to put the ball back in your court, call a couple of your friends up and see if they want to go on a Christian cruise with us and see how hard it is for them to go. Try that. Just see. We tried it before, and what happened? All hell broke loose.
Because I didn't have no friends that I was invited on a cruise. I don't know that
that's
one.
That's why they don't want to go. Because you hear Christian, or it's going to be this, that, or the other. And just like you said, they got everything on the ship that they do out here in the world. You can get it right there on the ship. But the difference is because when we go, we set a precedent. It's a precedent set. Oh, y'all going to be doing this and all. And they don't even know because they've never been. And those are the type of things that people say, and that you get it all the time. So it's fine. It is fine. You don't have to fit in. We're designed not to fit in. But the thing, and when you brought it up, I was thinking about it when I was at work today. We're not designed to fit in. And you know, you really want to know the truth, if you really want to know the truth, we're not even designed to fit in church. I'm going to let you think about that for a minute, and I want to be quiet.
I'm going to read a scripture, 1 Peter 2 and 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So that
read
is
that again. I want you to read it because that just made that. You just brought it home for me. Please read that again.
1 Peter 2 and 9. But you are a chosen people.
Stop right
a royal priesthood.
Stop. You are what, a chosen people? See, now this is going to separate us from when we go to church because we're chosen. So when we go, we're chosen when we get to where we're going. Go ahead. Read. What's the next one say?
A royal priesthood.
Royal priesthood. You know what that means? When you go and you give God everything you got, not just in praise, worship, in his service as well. So if you're going to church and you're chosen, you're not going to stay in church. You're not going to stay in church issues. You're not going to stay in church mess. You're not the church, because the church really ain't inside the church. Church is inside you. You're going to clean up the mess inside you. So when you go to church, you got something to celebrate because you're supposed to be, what, dying daily. So when you get there, you got something to shout about, not only to shout about, but you got something to serve about. And when you get there, you should be, what, serving God. How many people in church are serving God? Now, I'm not asking a question to give me a number. I'm not asking a question, I do this and I do that. That's not the question. The question is, are you serving God? Because if you're serving God, you will be able to see by what? The fruit the people bear. You'll be able to see it. You won't be in one week and gone the next week. Everyone taking a sabbatical. Everyone ain't doing it. Everyone doing, but ain't nobody doing what God called them to do. Serve. Because you're chosen. But see, everybody ain't been chosen, because if you was chosen, you would be doing what? Serving. So if you're serving, you know what? It makes everything else hard for you to fit in, because you ain't got time to fit in, because you're doing what? Serving. You're not a popcorn saint. You're not just coming to church, sitting there for show and for tell. But go ahead and finish reading.
I'm going to finish reading it, but I got something to say about what you just said. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So you're saying, you said that, I guess something along the lines of, you saying popcorn saints, I think is what you said.
That's what I said.
If a person, okay, so just because you don't see a person in church doesn't mean that they're not serving. I'm just saying it may be hit or miss. Maybe they come sometimes, but their ministry, they may feel that their ministry is out doing other things in the community. So I think about people who are, in the church, out the church. Like one week they running hard for the Lord, the next week they doing something else that's not of God. So it's like, that's what I think of when you say popcorn saint. Is that definition wrong?
definition is definition who fits with whoever it fits for. You know, the thing about what you just read about being chosen, when you're chosen, you're going to serve. And when you're served, you're going to be in the battlefield. And just like you said earlier when you was talking about how you anyone can tell you anything. I can't remember what you said, but you fall for it. See, what happens is either you're hot, you're cold, black, white, right, wrong, however you want to put it. The thing about what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to get is when you're serving and you're committed to the Lord and you're serving him and only him and you're trying to do better, because we all got to strive to be, we're all striving to be better. But at the same time, people make excuses after excuses after excuses, and they always come back and be, we don't know what they're doing. Okay, well, you're right, we don't know what they're doing. You're right, we don't. But, you know, for once, let's just be honest and let's just call it what it is. People don't want to serve. I ain't saying everybody. You have a very few people who wants to serve and who is serving, but you got a lot of people ain't doing nothing. And I won't keep my mouth. And no, I'm not going to keep my mouth closed. I'm going to say what I want to say. There's some people I ain't seen in church, and I don't know how long. So what are they doing? They doing their ministry? We got a ministry. If we wanted to, we could take off every Sunday. We can go preach 4 or 5 different churches if we wanted to. But that's not what God called us to do. That's not ministry.
A valid reason.
Well, okay, well, you say pray that they have a valid reason? If the reason was valid, we wouldn't be having a conversation.
But
well,
we're
not going to be there.
Time,
I'm not you being nice.
Hold on. At the same time, you know, the streaming services has made it easier for people to get the word and stay home.
That's just lazy. It's lazy is what it is. Now, I like streaming from home. I like being able to sit at home and watch everybody on. I believe you me, I like it. But you know what? That's good for people who needs that. Everybody don't need that. They done took this coronavirus to a whole new level. Don't nobody want to come to church and don't nobody want to serve. But they can go to Walmart, they can go to work, they can go to conference, they can do all this other stuff. But when it comes time to serve, and we want to make excuses for them. Stop making excuses for them and call them out. I would get called out. They try to call me out every week for something I say. And I really don't, you know, not that I care or what people say anymore, because God is going to do what God is going to do, and God is going to bless what he wants to bless. I'm at another level right now. Since I've been in this ministry, since I've been under my leadership, God has, for you and me both know where we were when we started and where we are now. And where we are now, we have ministries that we are doing. Not just one, but there's a few of them. And yeah, the devil's still trying to attack us, but we're better equipped because of the leadership that we're up under that had the faith and put us in position to succeed. So if we're succeeding in doing ministry and serving, and yet and still we're serving. And that's all what I'm saying. We're serving. And when we serve, every day ain't a good day. Every day ain't on top of, but we're in a better place because we're what? We're serving. You got prayer groups. You got D&K Bible Break. You got different ministries that you are working in. And it keeps you balanced because of the hell that the devil is trying to attack us. We're level and we're doing what God wants us to do. So, yeah, there's a crown for us. And because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But, oh, we could be fake and phony and popcorn and be like, we're going to take this week off and we're going to go speak at this church. We're going to take this week off. We're going to go speak at that church. And we ain't never in our home church. How can we serve somewhere if we ain't never there? But who are we serving if we're going to all these other churches doing this, that, and the other? Who are we serving?
No.
That's my question. And if you really want to get technical, in Bible, we're supposed to be up under somebody. We got to get taught. Mm-hmm. We got to go to Bible study. We got to let people teach us. It's not my job to be able to just get up and preach. I got to be minister too. That's why we have a pastor that's over us to minister to us. He's not my friend. He's supposed to check me when I need to be checked. Tell me you're going too far to the right. And he's the only man that I'm not going to say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. He's probably the only man that I keep my mouth shut to. And listen, these other Negroes, they can't tell me nothing, because the whole time we've been in Atlanta, up under different, talking in different things, when we've been, we ain't had nothing. Now look at us right now. 1,100-something people listening to what we got on about right now. 1,100-something people. Faithfully, every Monday, listen to what me and you got to say. And you mean to sit up there and tell me that I don't fit in because my family don't want, I'm going to cry about that? No. No. None of them Negroes is listening to us right now. But I don't get off in what my family think about me and what I'm doing. Because you know why? Because they can see how the Lord is blessing me and my family. And what we got going on. And they always want to ask me, what, can I get them tickets to this? Can I do, always want the hookup. But they don't want the presence of the person that I got the presence of, who I got the hookup from. But they want me to pray for them. But they don't want to support what we got going on. And again, I don't have a problem saying it, because I hope they listen to it. And I'm not mad or bitter about it or anything. And I just hope you be able to get it out of your system and be able to see what it is. And the most beautiful thing that happened Saturday, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to shut up, is we had to some groceries to a family. And I told my wife I didn't want her to go without me. But I had to go to another community and pass out food, so we went together. And when we went together, me and my wife, Now, tell me, what does this sound like to you? Me and you, husband and wife, taking some food where we get it, where we got extended arms ministry. We went to the pantry, bagged the groceries up. Who bagged them up? I had to bag them up. You went to Walmart and bought other stuff. And we took it to this young lady's house, and a smile came on their face because they knew they were getting something. And here we are, husband and wife team, family, dropping it off together. Is volumes on top of volumes on top of volumes of what we're up under, from our leader all the way down, everyone that's helping putting it in. This is what it's about. That right there was the comedy show right there. Because the minute you go to the comedy show, they're not going to see what I just. They're not going to see that. All they're going to think is, oh, they think they're better than everybody else. And I'm not going to lie to you. Elder Oliver do think I'm better. Not because I think I'm better than them. It's because who I'm serving. I'm a child of the King. So, yes, I think that I am all of that because he said I'm all of that. He made me all of that. In spite of my shortcomings, I am all of that. I've overcame so much stuff, so much hell I've been through. I am all of that. So, yeah, I am better than the darkness. So don't get me started with us supporting, because we support who supports us. And we are, as quiet as a zip, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncle, cousins, we are better because of who we are, kings. We are God's children. And he said that. And he would give us the desires of our heart. And we have that. I'm so upset right now. And let me tell you why I'm upset. I'm going to let you, and I'm going to be, because I didn't eat steak for 30 days, and I it was a self-fast for me. And when I went to get a steak, what did I send it back? It didn't taste right. I don't even want steak no more. Don't even want it. But what does that got to do with anything? Because I did it because of what? You and another sister was helping me do what? Make a sacrifice. When I made the sacrifice, it's more healthier, it's more better, because what? The people I'm surrounding myself with. I hang around these other Negroes, I'm going to have everything that I'm unhealthy that I can possibly get. And that's all I got to say. You go ahead and take us home.
All right. I just want to piggyback off of your popcorn saints that you were talking about. So I do have a scripture, Hebrews 13 and 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So for the popcorn saints, I'm sorry?
You need to read that one more time. You need to read that one more time, please.
Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So the popcorn saints, you're popping in, you're popping out. Just know that your leaders, they're praying for you, and you should be honoring them. Show up, support, be real. Don't just show up, just say, oh, I showed up. Reach out. Make sure your leaders are okay. Make sure they don't need anything. We should be doing that to each other, checking on each other, making sure everybody is okay. And respect your leaders. If you don't have respect for the people that are leading you, then I don't understand why you would be in a church where you don't respect your leaders. So I wanted to put that scripture out there. And also, based off of what we were talking about tonight, whether it was about prayer, whether it was about design not to fit, just be true to yourself and, you know, make sure you're following what the word of God is telling you, and be real, because
we need real people. That scripture you read, it just is humming out. I got like five or six things I can say about that too, but, you know, I'm going to have to say that for another day. And the only reason I say that is because, you know, my father was a pastor, and my father was so stressed out. He was stressed out, and that eventually that's what killed him, because he was stressed, because he was doing all this and all the stuff he was trying to do. He was stressed out. I don't ever want to be that person, and I was trained up not to be that person. I'm going to work, not because of friendships, not because of any other reason, but because I was chosen by the Lord. That's first and foremost. I know what it's like to be a bad saint, because I used to be one. I know what it's like to be an uppity saint. I used to be one. But right now, it's all about me, my family, and serving the Lord. And how do you serve the Lord? Well, if you go to the scriptures, it tells you how to serve, how to be a good disciple of Christ. And I ain't saying people don't need a sabbatical every now and then, or a blue moon every now and then. But, you know, come on, this is ridiculous. And I'm just saying, it is what it is. And I'm talking to you too, wife, not as your husband, but as an elder. I'm just saying, it's ridiculous that we put so much emphasis on stuff that don't even matter. And the stuff that matters is sitting right there in front of us. It's right there in front of us. And we seem like we're too scared to go get it. Or we got to do it with conditions. And that's, you know, I know people don't like hearing it like that, but it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We got some sorry people in the church, period. And I said to myself, some people in my family is sorry, and they in the church. I got some cousins as bishops that's sorry. Preachers that's sorry. That is just do what, and don't even make, it's not even biblical what they're doing. Not even biblical. Someone at a Baptist church said that he got to pay elder dues every month or every year so he can be licensed. I said, Doc, you can get your license for $25. But see, I'm talking too much now. You got people who wants to be called deacons and don't do nothing, don't even know nothing about the first hand of being a deacon. They just like the title because they got have some deacon clothes. You got people that want to wear the white collar, want to be called elders just because they know how to quote a couple of scriptures, but they're not doing the work on the field. And then we want to sit up and sugarcoat it and say we don't know what they're doing behind closed doors. Well, let me say this: the Holy Ghost will tell you and reveal to you certain things. And I got the Holy Ghost, and it reveals to me about a lot of stuff, about a lot of people. And that's all I'm going to say, because, you know, I'm not the most educated person, but you know what? I don't have to be the most educated person to understand that I've been called, because he don't always call the educated people to be called. And then people want to get upset because you don't call and set this and plan that. I don't have time for the particulars or the stuff. I really don't. Either you're going to do it or you ain't going to do it. It's just that simple. And either you're going fit to fit in or you gonna fit not to fit in. I can't fit in nowhere I go, and I like it like that. When I go to church, I'm gonna preach about sin. That's what I'm gonna preach about, sin, because everyone that come up in the church, what they sinners. So I'm gonna preach about it. So they're gonna be uncomfortable with the way I preach. They're gonna be uncomfortable with the way I teach, because I'm gonna teach about sin. What you doing? You ain't supposed to do that. Stop shacking up. Stop having unprotected sex. People don't want to hear that kind of stuff no more. Oh, it's all right. Now, you don't know if a boy, a girl, you don't know what's going on. I like both. And we want to sit up and act like we don't know what people are doing. If you got the Holy Ghost, you know what they're doing. You know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. My wife just wanna get me going and get me riled up a little bit and just talk about it, but it is what it is.
No, you went this route. Don't put that on your wife. You did. You the one who went wrong.
Well, you talking about fit to fit in. You know we don't fit in anywhere we go. We don't fit in nowhere we go. We ain't never fit in.
I was just sharing my experience.
That your experience over the weekend is fine, but I'm speaking out. Period. We don't fit in anywhere we go. We don't fit in. And the reason we don't fit in is because of who called us to do what. And I like it that we don't fit in. I like it that people
You like it. Yes. But
did Jesus fit in everywhere he went? He didn't fit in nowhere he went. And I like to model myself after him. If I model myself after him, I think I'm doing all right. And when I said this, just so I can clarify it up, when we go to church and we don't fit in.
Ask for prayer. That's why I asked for prayer. For those of you who feel me and understand where I'm coming from, I ask, Lord, that you all pray for me in this little area of my life. So I haven't arrived to where you are. I haven't arrived there yet. I'm not there 100%.
Well, and that's fine, because there's some areas I'm not arrived in either. So we got to support one another. But we're not going to fit in anywhere we go. I'm just letting you know that now. We're not going to fit in. And not because we're better than anybody. It's just we have a higher calling on our life. And when you have a higher calling on your life, it's kind of impossible to fit in, because everyone's going to look at you differently, because they're going to look at you with expectations to either think you better than them, or expectations and things that they're waiting on you to fall, or when something comes up that's not right, they're going to try to say, oh, I thought you was all holier than thou. Look what you're going through. And we've been going through a lot of hell. But it's okay, because we're supposed to, because of who we are and what we represent. The devil is supposed to be attacking us. It would be a problem if he wasn't attacking us. And that's the problem. We got to be in church on Sunday. I'm not going to church for Bishop Bowman. I'm not going to church for praise. I'm going to church because I got to be there, because we got some devils we got to fight. I need the word of God. I need to hear the word. And y'all probably think I'm crazy and talking too much about it, but I take this stuff very seriously, and this is what gets us through. This is what gets us through. You can only imagine what it's like when we ain't on the air. And I enjoy those conversations, because you know what? It helps me. So my wife will give me something to think about, and I can call and tell her I was wrong. I was wrong and wrong. But I'm just saying this, and before we let you go and before we go, we have a platform here, and we will talk about any and everything. We're so transparent, put ourselves out there like that. You know, we're going to stop doing that, because, you know, people try to use that against us sometimes, too. Y'all think y'all slick. We recognize what's going on. We just choose not to say nothing. And y'all know I can't hold nothing. So keep it up, because I will expose it. soon as the Holy Ghost tell me this, I'll be ready to go. I'm ready to say some stuff right now, but Lord telling me to shut it down.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, and I'm gonna say this. Amen. I'm gonna say this. Why I feel like you don't be on my side when I'm talking. I'm gonna have to put you a chair down here in my office so I can look at you while we're doing this show, because I don't understand what be going on. I get text messages, why your wife going against what you're saying, or why is she trying to give you, you know, may turn into anime.
Tell whoever is texting you that your wife would never go against you, for one. And this is a conversation that we are having.
Thank you. You got people thinking, you know, one-sided. But okay.
It's not
y'all
that kind of party.
Thank you. It's not that type of party. But with that being said, thank y'all. We have Bible study tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, 7 p.m. online, www.blogtalkradio.chaostalkwithderekoliver. Same phone number, 845-277-9094. I'm going to say this, too, about Bible study. For I think almost been almost 2 years now, we've been doing Bible study, and I want to send a shout out to my team, my engineers and everybody. I don't ever say nothing to them because I just don't. But for 2 years, you know, we've never missed a Tuesday night, and I want to thank them for that. Some shows I had to cancel, some shows I couldn't do because of technical things, but we never had any issues for our Bible study. And I want to thank my shout out to my engineers for putting us up. Because don't forget, we are in different countries as well. We don't say it no more because, you know, I don't have to prove nothing to nobody. But I just want to thank them. You know, last week we had to come on 2 minutes late. That was really my fault. But we ain't had no issues in 2 years. And, I, a lot of churches can't say that. Because 1 minute they on, 1 minute they off. And, you know, but thank the Lord we were able to go on. And I'm thankful for that kind of see. That kind of stuff excites me. That's serving the Lord. That's making sure your people that love to do what they do and my people know how I feel about the Lord. And that's one of the things that I push is for our Tuesday Bible. That's something that we can't go back on because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps my engine moving is hearing the word of God from other people, not just myself, but from other people. And you know, that's to me, I may have to go celebrate that myself, but I'm looking at numbers now and it's amazing that we can do that. So I want to thank my engineers for making sure that we got a good signal and that, you know, we get on every Tuesday and we don't have no issues. So I want to send a shout out to them. I want to send another shout out to my wife. You know, I'm blessed physically, financially, spiritually, because I got a good wife who keeps me grounded and rooted and keeps me where I need to be. And I don't get too big of a head and I don't get too low on myself because I demand a lot of myself. And my wife has to go through a lot. She keeps me where I need to be. And I just want to say thank you, wife, because without you, I know none of this would be possible where we're going right now. And I'm saying that because I'm going to need a favor from everybody. I also want to thank my bishop and first lady. Y'all have been awesome to us. I don't know what we could do to, and I know they wouldn't want anything, but, man, they have taken us from the bottom floor all the way up to the top floor, and I just want to say thank you. And if people you don't know what I'm talking about, it's just the support, the way they show love to my wife. It's awesome because I'm at a level right now where I've always wanted to be at this level, and I'm thanking the Lord that I'm here. So I want to send a shout out to them. Also to the everyone that's on the Bible study team, shout out to y'all. I appreciate you. And I just want to get this out of the way because my wife's daughter is getting ready to have surgery. And, again, I said this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again today. I have a feeling, and I don't know why, but I just have a feeling they're going to come back with something different than what they're saying. And I just want everyone that's out there that knows anything about intercessory prayer to please keep my wife in prayer and her daughter in prayer. Because we are, you know, we joke and kid around, but we got some stuff that's on the table right now that we're going through some things right now. And the only way we know how to get through it is through prayer, fasting, and through the word of God. So I'm asking you to say a prayer for my wife's daughter and send a prayer for my wife, because my wife is as quiet as it's kept. She's been getting hit left and right with a lot of different things with the kids, and she's handling it like a trooper, but, you know, she needs a vacation. I'm trying to get her on one, but we got a lot of stuff going on. So just continue to pray for her because she has a lot going on. And the only reason I believe that she's having these feelings fitting in is because all the I'm not going to call it stress, but because all of the situations that she's fighting for her kids. And you know, she's getting ready to be a grandmother again. Her oldest daughter is getting ready to have a baby, and it's challenging as well because it's her first one. And, you know, it's just a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, pray for her son as well. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on at the Oliver House. And the reason I love it so much is because the only way we know how to get through it is through the word of God. So when you hear us on here talking and preaching hard and going at her, we got stuff we got to fight against. And we can't sugarcoat anything that we do. So when we be transparent and we're talking about ourselves, my wife's a strong woman. And believe you me, her fitting in to fit in, she just had a moment. But she's stronger and tougher than that. I joke with her all the time about it. And that's the reason we talk about it. And we can be honest about, on the air, and just say this is what she's for a moment. But, you know, my wife knew good and well she would have been highly upset if we would have went to that comedy show and had to been up there to after 1 o'clock. I know she would have been
upset.
It
wouldn't happen. It wouldn't have happened. You know that. So, I would have left.
Right.
Wouldn't have happened.
But at the same token, other people are going through things, but trying to fit in. And I know I'm being long-winded, but I got to pay the cost anyway. You're never going to fit in if you're a child of God and you're chosen. You're not going to fit in. You're not. You can go to any, you go talk to the, he don't fit in. They talk about him. He can't fit in. He think he's fitting in, next thing you know, they're going to turn on him. You're not going to fit in wherever you go. You're not. Just know that you got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as you and him are cool, y'all good. That's all you got to fit in with. It really don't matter with nobody else. And with me saying that, again, I just want to thank everyone. Continue to pray for us. Pray for our strength. Just continue to pray for us as we grow stronger in the Lord. And again, tomorrow night we got Bible study at 7 p.m. Come back and join us and get a great word for tomorrow night. And again, if you're not doing nothing on Sundays, join us. If you want to come to church, call us, we'll come get you. If you want to, you need some food, call us. We'll send a package out there to you. And there's so much stuff that I forgot to say, and I'm going to say it since I'm on the airwave. But listen, if anybody want any of these baggies, yeah, I know, you go ahead and laugh at me. But we hand out these little baggies, and in the bags we have water, we have a prayer book in there, and we have masks, and it's a good way to minister. And you ain't even got to say nothing. You just hand them the bag. Everything is in the bag. And what I'm going to start doing on Sunday is if you want these bags to put in your car, so you can serve when you go to work or go to Walmart or go to wherever you're going. All you got to do is take the little plastic bag and hand it to somebody. And if they say something, fine. If they don't, fine. All the information is in the bag. All you got to do is hand it to them. That's all you got to do. I'm going to make sure we have some bags made up. And I guarantee you this. I'm going to bet you a coffee that I'm going to make some bags up. And I guarantee you, if I make up 100 bags, I guarantee you 90 of them will still be in the church.
Yeah, I'm not even going to comment.
I know. You ain't got to comment. You ain't got to comment.
Lord.
Prove me
wrong. Pray my strength in
the Lord
tonight.
Pray your strength in the Lord. You're going to need it. Go ahead and close this out. I'm done. You're going to say I talk too much. But I'll be talking truth.
Ooh, Lord.
I tell the truth.
You're preaching tonight.
Yeah, I am preaching tonight. Yeah, I'm going to be on one all week long.
All right, y'all. Yeah, keep me in prayer. Because when he on one, everything is a sermon. So keep me in prayer. All right. I appreciate everybody listening tonight. Thank you for being supportive and just being there. Pray that you got something from the message, the conversation on tonight, that you can pull something from it and take it along with you. I thank you for all your prayers as we continue to pray for you and your family. I ask that you just continue to lift my daughter up in prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you this evening just thanking you once again for allowing us to come together to have a great conversation based on your principles and where you stand. Ask that your will be done in our lives and continue to touch your people. Thank you for traveling mercies for those people who are on the road on tonight. Thank you for just giving us the opportunity to have a voice to be who you called us to be. Ask that you just continue to let your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor, the glory, and all the praise. Have a great night, everyone. Amen.